Ice Cream Murder, Lexi Baker Cozy Mystery Series, Volume 9, written by Leanne Dobbs. Chapter 1. Lexi Baker stared at the old commercial oven in the kitchen of the Buckridge Lodge, her foot tapping impatiently on the rustic tile floor. Inside the oven, her Madeline cookies were baking, or at least she hoped they were. The oven had been acting persnickety all day, causing problems for her and Anna Burns, the caterer who'd hired Lexi to provide desserts for the event. A birthday party for multimillionaire Regis Banks, who was turning the ripe old age of 100. The Banks family had rented out the old lodge, a magnificent log structure located beside Buckridge Lake, just for the party. The lodge boasted huge fireplaces, antler chandeliers, log furniture, and an abundance of ambiance. Too bad the same attention to detail hadn't been paid in the kitchen, which consisted of outdated appliances and dented pans. Lexi cracked the oven open, letting a puff of air tinged with the scent of almond escape into the room. The edges of the cookies were just starting to brown. Her mouth watered at the sight. She grabbed an oven mitt and slid the trays of golden shell-shaped cookies out, then used the decades-old warped spatula to shovel them onto a rack to cool. She turned up the heat under the three pots she had on the stove. Each pot contained a different homemade sauce, fudge, peanut butter, and caramel. She moved from one pot to the next, stirring vigorously so as not to burn the sauces. If she did, she wouldn't have time to make new ones, and she needed them to spice up the homemade vanilla bean ice cream she was serving for dessert. Her stomach tingled with nerves as she waited for the sauces to warm. Ice cream wasn't Lexi's forte, but it had been requested by the family because it was Regis's favorite. She'd made it last night by hand, then planned to spruce it up with the sauce, and finally, a sweet Madeline cookie sticking out of the top. The catering job for one of the richest families in the area was high profile and could result in her getting other jobs. She didn't want to risk screwing up. The stainless steel door to the kitchen opened, and Anna bustled in. Lexi, is the ice cream almost ready? They're starting to get restless out there, and Regis is about to make his speech. Anna's voice was laced with panic, setting Lexi's nerves humming. Yes, it's just about ready. Lexi turned off the stove and glanced at Anna. Her face was flushed. Blonde wisps of hair had escaped from the tight bun on the top of her head, flying out from her face at various angles. She looked almost frantic. Lexi realized this job was more important for Anna than it was for her. This could make or break Anna's business. Take it easy, Lexi soothed. I just need to put the sauces on the ice cream and top it with the cookie. It will just take a second, then we can serve. I'll help. Anna grabbed the tub of ice cream from the stainless steel freezer and set it on the table. Let's make sure to put the right sauces on. The family was very specific about who gets what sauce. The girls worked side by side, scooping the ice cream into crystal dishes, ladling on the sauce, then sticking the cookie up out of the center. They set the dishes for the head table on a silver platter, careful to put them in the right order so each family member would be served their preferred sauce. The other tables were getting a variety of ice creams, and each guest could pick the flavor sauce they wanted. Lexi placed the pre-made label cards in front of each dessert so there would be no mistakes. Ready? Anna raised her brows at Lexi. Lexi nodded, and the girls hefted the trays onto their shoulders and set off into the dining room to serve the ice cream. The dining room hummed with conversation. Lexi did a quick check in the window of the kitchen door to make sure her shoulder-length brown hair was still secured in the ponytail at the nape of her neck. It wouldn't do to have stray hairs in the ice cream. She straightened the bottom of her white catering jacket with her free hand as she surveyed the three-story great room. It was elegantly festive, the round guest tables covered in crisp white linen and set with crystal and bone china. There were about 50 guests in all, seated six to a table. The long head table sat at the end of the room, in front of an expanse of windows that towered up to the cathedral ceiling. Behind the windows, moonlight danced on the surface of Buckridge Lake. It was a full moon, and the view was breathtaking. But Lexi didn't have time for gazing at the view. She glanced at her watch, her stomach twisting, when she realized they were 10 minutes late in serving the ice cream. The event had been planned down to the minute, with various family members making speeches and presentations at set times. The big finale was supposed to come after dessert, when Regis Banks himself would address the guests, giving his thanks and making a much-anticipated announcement. Lexi noticed Regis' personal secretary, Cora, standing watch in the dark shadows of the corner of the room, a scowl aimed in Lexi's direction. Cora's mouth was pursed in a tight line, her dark eyes shooting daggers. Cora had planned the event with Anna and Lexi, stressing over and over that the timing was critical. But surely, a mere 10 minutes wouldn't be that much of a problem.
"Better get a move on," Anna whispered, jerking her chin in Cora's direction.
Lexi nodded and took a deep breath before she started across the wide pine flooring to the head table. As she passed the round guest tables, she noticed the busboys had cleared the dinner plates. The guests were sipping from their coffee cups and eyeing the dessert trays expectantly, as a photographer made the rounds, taking candid shots. Lexi started at one end of the head table. Making sure to take the ice cream dishes from the tray in the right order, she set them down in front of the guests, one by one, taking care that her slightly shaking hands didn't spill any sauce on the tablecloths. She could feel Cora's gaze boring into her back, and she served as quickly as she could, then ran back to the kitchen for the next tray. Two more trips back to the kitchen, and Lexi and Anna had finished serving all the tables. At the last table, Lexi's grandmother, Mona Baker, or Nans, as Lexi called her, was seated with her friends Ruth, Ida, and Helen. Lexi didn't know how, but somehow Nans had finagled an invitation to the posh affair, and the four ladies sat giggling like schoolgirls as they dipped spoons into their ice cream. Lexi stood behind them, attempting to blend into the background like any good caterer would. "These Madeleines are divine, Lexi. You wouldn't happen to have any extra, would you?" Ruth half turned in her seat to look at Lexi.
"I might have some," Lexi said. "I'll run to the kitchen after Regis' speech starts and bring some over."
"Shh." Ida put her hand on Ruth's arm. "He's standing up." All eyes turned to the head table, where Regis Banks pushed his way up from his chair.
"He's still pretty spry for 100, Helen said.
"Yeah, he's a looker too," Nans replied.
"And rich," Ida jabbed Helen in the ribs. "Maybe you should make a move on him."
"Oh, stop it," Helen sputtered, her face turning red.
Lexi watched as Regis straightened his tie and cleared his throat. He did look pretty spry for his age. He stood with ease, not bent over like one might expect. Lexi noticed he didn't even use a cane. And he looked pretty good, too. Tall and thin, with a full head of thick white hair. Lexi had heard he was sharp as a tack, and still took a daily interest in the business he'd built from scratch. She also heard he ruled with an iron fist and kept a miserly control over the family money.
That's probably why he was a multimillionaire.
I'd like to thank everyone for attending my birthday.
Regis started, and then waited as the room broke into applause. He had a strong and steady voice. Lexi found it hard to believe the guy was a century old.
And I especially would like to thank my loving family for arranging this great party.
Regis continued. As Regis droned on, Lexi studied the head table. To Regis' left sat his oldest son, Winston. Lexi guessed that Winston was in his late 60s. He looked stuffy in a starched white collar with blue suit and tie. A redhead, still attractive even in her mid-60s, sat stiffly next to him, probably his wife. From the way they were sitting, Lexi could tell they weren't getting along. On the other side of the wife sat Regis' other son, Lawrence. From what Lexi had heard, Lawrence was the odd man out in the family. Where Regis and Winston were interested in business and money, Lawrence was more of a tree hugger, with no head for business. He preferred more leisurely activities and was known to be into conservation and ecology. Where Regis and Winston were stuffed shirts, Lawrence was laid back. This was evidenced by his tie, which resembled the print on a Hawaiian shirt. Lawrence wasn't paying much attention to Regis. Instead, he had his head bent toward a man in his early 40s that sat next to him. A grandchild, Lexi figured. There were several people in their 30s and 40s at the table, and she assumed them to be Regis' grandchildren. On the right side of Regis sat his daughter, Olivia. Olivia looked a lot younger than her brothers, maybe early to mid-50s, although her youthful appearance might have had some help surgically. Lexi didn't know any of the banks very well, but the rumors of Olivia having a penchant for expensive fashion must have been true, judging by her dazzling couture dress, Kate Spade purse, and Jimmy Choo stilettos. On the other side of Olivia sat two couples in their 40s. More grandchildren, Lexi supposed. Cora hovered unobtrusively in the background, behind Regis. Ruth caught Lexi's eye and looked pointedly at the Madeline. Regis was still droning on. Now would be the perfect time to grab the extra Madelines from the kitchen, Lexi thought, heading in the direction of the stainless steel doors. Lexi scanned the tables as she crossed the room to see if anyone needed a coffee refill. She was almost to the kitchen door when a strangled sound jerked her attention toward the head table. Regis Banks let out a strangled cough, then loosened his shirt collar and continued in a raspy voice, "And now I'd like to announce." He stopped abruptly, clawing at his neck. He made a sickening, gurgling sound, then slumped into his chair, his eyes rolling back in their sockets, right before his head fell forward, face first, into his bowl of ice cream.